Hello, Western Swing, and I have wicked feedback in my headphones. And I'd like to welcome Peter Wood to the show.
Hey, nice to be here at the Juke Joint.
Excellent. That's good to have you. This CD is great. I really dig it. Now, that was Sugar Ray.
Sugar Ray singing on there. Dave Maxwell, who a lot of your fans, listeners would know, on piano. And Herb Remington on steel guitar.
Excellent. I really dig it.
This is a Western Swing album, but I'm here to promote a blues show. But there's blues, even in Western Swing, there was blues.
Yes, you are. So should we let the cat out of the bag? Could we possibly hear some of these tunes at this blues show on May 14th?
It's probably unlikely.
but you are playing, right?
I may not. I don't know. There's so many good bands on there. I don't know if there's enough room for me, but Sugar Ray and the Blue Tones are going to be on there. Duke Robillard, who's also on this record, who you'll hear in a few minutes.
Yeah.
He's on there, as well as Guy Davis, who I think you know.
Yeah, excellent.
Shirley Lewis, who's been around for quite a while and is a great blues singer.
Forever.
Uh-oh, that was Peter Cahill who said that.
Exactly.
the other Peter.
Yeah, the two Peters, yeah.
The other white meat.
Yeah, exactly. And you have also Tony Lynn Washington.
Just going to say, Tony Lynn Washington, who I think is terrific. And Sonny Crownover, who's been singing some of the blues with Duke Robillard lately as part of Sonny and her Joy Boys.
Yeah.
She's a wonderful singer, a little less known to some of the regular blues audience. But
excellent.
So that's going to be great. Duke is the headliner. And that's Saturday, May 14th at the Regent Theater in Arlington. So reserve seating. You get your tickets now. Call up the Regent Theater.
Excellent. Excellent. That's great. We can't wait to be there. I'll be flying in on the 13th. And you're flying over on the 14th.
You'll be winging it. You'll be just...
exactly.
If you can, I look forward to you being there. I'd be honored if you...
I'll have a New Orleans hangover. Everybody gives me a hard time. This is the fifth annual, correct?
Yes, it is. Even though it is the fifth annual. There was last year we weren't able to do it. It is a fun... Well, several things at once. I wanted to do something where you had a lot of traditional blues bands. So that's one thing. I keep blues alive. And then it's a tribute to Mae Kramer, who I was married to, and some of your listeners may know her, but as time goes on, maybe they don't too. But she had a blues show at GBH for a long time, from 1978 to 2002, and she died in 2002. And you and a bunch of others worked with her in the studio and volunteered with her. So I'm always indebted to you guys, but you guys did a lot of work with her, know her, and remember her well. So it's a tribute to her, and it's a fundraiser. I figure... why not raise some money for a good cause? And in this case, it's the Doug Flutie Foundation for Autism.
That's excellent, because May was always very sympathetic to different needs and fundraising.
See, that's not what I heard.
No. She wasn't.
No, she was. Sympathetic. Oh, I thought you meant.
Sorry, May.
Forgive me.
No, but I mean, there were things that she held dear to her heart that she always made sure were taken care of.
Yep, that's true.
In a generous, or a giving way.
Pine Street Inn. She liked to do things for them. And in the past, we've raised money for breast cancer causes. But we thought, for a couple reasons, we had met a couple that has an autistic child. And we thought, let's look into autism for this year. And it's a great foundation, the Doug Flutie Foundation. Doug may or probably not be there, so I don't want to mislead anybody. But his foundation is a great organization. So come on down. That's May 14th, Regent Theater in Arlington.
And a great, great lineup. And really, because it's always good to mix it up a little. Everybody has benefits every year for the same thing, and there are so many other worthy causes out there.
It's hard to pick. There are some.
It is.
We had done something for the Mass Coalition for Breast Cancer, and they were great to work with. And now I thought, let's try something different, especially after we met this family. It's rare, you know, autism, and I'm sure people who know somebody with an autistic child or whatever, a loved one, would know that it's just a terrible disease. And it's a challenge to the family. The families fall apart sometimes, a lot of pressure, a lot of stress. Sometimes it's bad for marriages, but people need money for special education and all that kind of thing. So that's what I like about the Doug Flutie organization. It doesn't just put money into one place; it spreads it out and actually gives it to people who are in need of help.
Well, that's,
I like that.
That's excellent, because what they need more than anything is time, is because it's so time consuming, and with today's economy, both parents have to be working, and you can't focus. So it's even if they have a little bit of rest or a little bit of time away.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's very tough. So anyway, it's one night where I hope people can get away and.
It'll be great. You got to tell me. Are you going to have the photos in the background again?
Yeah, we always have photos of May, which we do, and we do a little quick bio for anybody who doesn't remember May. And I think you're in there, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, with my Duke Rovelod shirt on. How apropos.
Some of those pictures might have been taken by you, too, because I know you're an avid blues photographer. And what else? We do a silent auction, some of which is going to be things that May made, her own original art. We've done that each year, but some of her, she did some collages at one time in her life, and we have copies of some of her art, but it's not just things. There'll be some blues items for the blues fans, some CDs. I don't know if people still play CDs, but we're going to have some CDs of blues and all kinds of blues items, and maybe an instrument. We had a guitar at one time signed by some of the blues artists themselves, so we auctioned that away, and there's some good deals there, so bring some cash
that's great. And it's at the Regent Theater, which is a very nice venue for
this. It is. All the seats are good and it sounds good in there. And by the way, Monster Mike Welch is on the show. He'll be with Sugar Ray and the Blue. He's with Sugar Ray and the Blue Tone, so that's another guitar slinger who he's in Europe right now, and he'll be getting back in time for this thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was he over there with his own band?
Yeah, he is. Just a trio. Oh, I heard he's doing pretty well.
Is he doing Monster Mike or is it Mike Welch? I heard for a while that he changed back to Mike Welch.
Uh-oh.
No.
I didn't know that.
We'll all know him as Monster
Mike. I wasn't sure if he's still. I don't think he minds. I'll check one more time to be sure.
Any publicity is good publicity, right?
Right. And he was a monster he's only in his, I think he's in his early 30s.
Yeah,
and we've all been seeing him since he was a kid.
13, 14 years old.
At the Old House of Blues. Yeah. That's where I first saw him. I thought, wow, this guy's great. And he's still a great 100% blues player, which is what I like about him. And I prefer him over many other guitar players.
Yeah, he is. And the thing about Mike is a lot of young blues musicians go through, are at 12 or 13 years old, show great ability towards blues music. But then when they start to get in their mid-teen years, their head gets all foggy and it goes all haywire. And then it seems like they know,
I agree with you.
Wayne Shepherd, Johnny Lang, they all take different directions, but Mike has always stayed true.
I think he has. And there is temptation. I mean, if he had a commercial interest at heart, he might want to go into a rock mode of blues, which I think has been overdone. There's too much of that. If you like it, it's good, it's fine. And there's a lot of those kind of people, but harder and harder to find people who just play. And I think Mike himself, though, would say he does other things besides blues.
Yes, he does.
And he does. I think he's a real Beatles fan, for example.
Yes, he is.
And he knows a lot about the Beatles and how they, and he sometimes will say, that wasn't George on guitar, that was actually, Paul or something on certain songs and stuff. He's very interesting.
Unbelievable. Well, we get a phone call coming in, so I'm going to play another song from the Peter Ward CD. Hold on just a minute, and we'll get to that phone call. We're going to play Milk Cow Blues, which features Duke Robillard. And tell us a little about the CD.
Yes, this is a CD. Apart from blues, I got into Western swing quite heavily several years ago, and then decided, hey, time to put out a CD. So I found out that Herb Remington was still around. He used to play with Bob Wills and the Texas Playboys, and he plays a non-pedal steel guitar. So I went down to Houston and recorded him, but also put Sugar Ray, who I think is a great singer, who's on the show. Duke Robillard plays a tune on here, which you're going to hear in a few seconds. And is a fiddle player and a steel, and I love that stuff. I went down to Texas to see some of the surviving members of the Bob Wills band.
Well, you make that a journey. Have you been a few times, haven't you?
I don't go there as frequently. I have gone several times, but not as frequently as you go to New Orleans. But I went in the 90s when a lot of the guys were still around, and it's changed since then. Just like in blues, the golden age is over for that. But there's still some great musicians out there. So this is called Goodbye Liza Jane. Hello Western Swing is the CD. And you can get that on CD, baby.
Excellent. We're going to listen to Milk Cow Blues.
this morning and I looked outdoors. I could tell my milk cow, I could tell by the way she knows. If you see my milk cow, please drive her home. Well, I ain't had no milk and butter since that cow's been gone. Well, you got to treat me right day by day. Get out your little prayer book, get up on your knees and pray. You're gonna need my help someday. Yeah, you're gonna be sorry for treating me this way. Everything, baby, to get along with you. And now I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna stop crying, gonna leave you alone. If you don't believe I'm leaving, baby, count the days I'm gone. Cause you're gonna need my help somewhere.
And that was Peter Ward and the Lone Pine Western Swing Band, Milk Cow Blues.
And the fiddle player on there was Rich Dubois, who's from Providence area, and he used to play with Hank Thompson, and when Hank Thompson would come to town. But he used to play with a band called the Spurs with Little Frankie and the Premiers.
Yeah.
When they were, and Jerry Miller, who some of your listeners will know. Jerry Miller's on this record, too. He's one of the great guitar players of all time. And he's playing with a band called Elin Jewell, this woman. She's... they travel all over the place. It's very hard to get Jerry to catch him and get him in the studio, but I was lucky and had him a couple days, so that was kind of nice. But Elin Jewell's good. She just did a big, she's got a well-received CD tribute to Loretta Lynn. But she's not a country, she's sort of bluesy, country, mix, different things. But
it Jerry sounds Miller's familiar. Great. I don't know why that name
Elin
sounds
Jewell,
so familiar
yeah,
to
yeah, she's
me.
Good.
It's a great name.
Yeah, very good. Everybody calls her Eileen, but it's really not. It's not that, and it's not spelled that way.
That's
it's close.
Yeah, but there is an I in there, isn't there? I thought it was. Yeah, is, I don't know. I think
there is an I.
Yeah, I don't. That's what I know. That's why I'm thinking Eileen Jewell. But it's Eli.
That's what they said about Quasimodo. There's an I in there.
Yeah,
bad joke. That was bad.
Unbelievable.
It's good to be in the Juke Joint with you though again, because I know you've been playing blues all this time. Your show's been on.
Yeah, it's
many
been a
years
few
now.
Years. I don't
it's
know,
good.
Seven years, 8 years.
Uh huh. That's all.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's long though.
I did the New England Blues Society for many, many moons.
Yes.
And then I was with the Boston Blues Society. And then I was with May for 12 or whatever years. Dick and myself.
Right.
In May.
And that's the 24 years. And I think you were with her not right at the beginning, but a lot of those years you were.
Yeah.
And every weekend, of course, she had different volunteers, so it wasn't every night of every weekend, but you were there a lot. Every time I walked in the studio, you were there.
And it was grueling. grueling, not because of May, because of the hours. It was 9 to 1 a.m.
It's kind of a long shift.
And you'd get out of there, and it would be 1:15, 1:30. And then we'd always walk May to her car, because she slept her own stuff in and out.
Right. She did. She carried a lot of stuff.
Yeah, she did have a couple of cabinets there, but she did move it
records
in and out.
Too.
Records, not, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I met many guests on that show. We had Charles Brown.
Yes,
and Lynn August, who was a favorite of hers, and Sue O'Clair used to come in with all these people all the time. And
some of these people were performing that night.
Yeah,
Hubert came down.
Hubert exactly. Sumlin,
but then someone would have to drive him over to
the House of Blues to drop him off. And Teo Lysimaya did it most of the time.
Yeah, Teo.
Because Teo would whip people out of there, 15 minutes before they were supposed to be on the stage. But as we all know in the blues, the band goes on and plays three or four tunes. And when the star shows up, he shows up. And nobody's going to tell him any different, but still, it was amazing. It was a great, great experience.
I used to say, May, I don't think someone's going to, she'd say, I'm going to try to get, I think it was Philip Walker, I think.
Yes.
And I said, he's got to be there at the House of Blues at such and such. I don't think he's going to hurry to get on your station. I mean, and then go over to the show. Sure enough, though, these guys sometimes went out of their way to be on her show because they liked her.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they got along with her.
She was a force to be reckoned with. She was the reason why that show went on for so long. And unfortunately, its demise afterwards because she was very, this is what I'm doing, And
it was a good time to be into blues, of course. The people were still coming out to hear blues bands. There were still people to go out worth hearing. And there still are today. I know you.
She's a legend.
But she helped a lot of local people get their start too. And I wouldn't it's hard to say how much she helped, but she tried to always promote Ronnie Earl, for example. She played a lot of his records.
She did
all the time. Yeah. In fact, every time I walked in, I know Ronnie. He's been on our show before too. This fundraiser before. He's not able. He's going to be playing the night before somewhere. So. But one time he came down, he was invited to come down. So he came unannounced, they should say, not uninvited.
Yeah, uninvited. Almost,
And he's always been great. And he's been on the show. He's been the headliner. And, of course, to see Ronnie up close like that at the Regent Theater is always great because he's still a great blues guitar player. Still, and always will
be.
He
is.
And it's good that he's out there playing again. And Dave Maxwell is on this. I think a lot of your listeners know. Maybe I mentioned him already, but he's such a great piano player. I mean, he's in demand all over the world. And it's interesting about Dave Maxwell. This is my own personal opinion, but I've seen him play in small venues and big venues. People like him instantly. So
yes,
if they hear
they
him
do.
Play.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not every musician can say that. I wish when I played guitar, I get an emotional reaction when I play, but it's not usually positive.
Of course it is.
But with him, it's people just seem to like him right away, and they should because he's a great. But they recognize how great a piano player.
Well,
he is one of the great ones.
It's amazing. He's going to be on the bill on the 14th.
Yes.
Yes, I got to get his new CD. I wish I would know who put it out.
I didn't know.
I don't know who put it out, but
if you know out there.
Yeah, his new CD is coming out next Friday, I believe. Oh, his CD release party is Friday at the Regatta Bar.
Oh, that'll be nice. Too.
Dave Maxwell is a phenomenal piano player.
He really is.
Yeah. He's part of the Big Three, right? Which also your brother is part of.
Right. My brother Mudcat will be on the show because he's a regular bass player with Sugar Ray and the Blue Tones.
But it's Dave Maxwell.
When you say Big Three, all I can think of is the Boston Celtics.
No. The Big Three in the blues in Boston, I would say, for backup musicians, is Dave Maxwell, Mudcat Ward, and Pierre Hanson.
Oh, yeah, right.
How many CDs? It amazes me how many CDs.
Between the three of them?
Oh, I pick up, yeah, and there
dozens.
They are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And you know, it's true. That's a good point. And Pear's not on the show this year, but he has been on. Yeah. He's such a great... I should invite him down anyway.
Yeah, no, I don't mean that, but I'm saying, yeah. You know, your brother, you know, like I said, it's amazing. I pick up a CD, and it's always interesting to see who's playing with who.
Yeah, they used to back up like Daryl Newlish, or at least on some of the records and stuff. And, you know, just like if you see Fred Bilo and Louis Myers on some old Chicago, it's worth buying, whether you know much about the lead singer or the featured artist on there. It doesn't matter, because you know those guys are good. I feel the same towards Mudcat and Maxwell.
Oh, yeah.
It's
going
to be good.
Well,
and
that's
Pear, Pear Hansen, too.
That's definitely it. Yeah. If you haven't heard of anybody, but you see them, they're not going to waste their time.
They have a lot of records under their belt.
They do.
Now, a lot of notches in their belt.
They do, and it's fantastic. I think that's really...
And Maxwell, he usually starts off our show playing the song Blues After Hours, which is the name of May's old show. And people sometimes cheer right at the beginning because that's the theme song that May used to open her show, as you well know.
Yes.
And close it,
with
too.
Lloyd Glenn's
Lloyd
version.
Glenn on the end. And the first one
is Pine Top. This is May playing the blues for you. You know? Yeah, exactly.
And we all feel sad. I used to play with the legendary blues band with Pine Top. So just when he passed away recently, just about a month ago or
so? Yes, it was four. No, yeah, it was a month ago.
A month, maybe? That was sad because he was a terrific guy as well as a excellent
piano
player. And when I left the band, he was about 70, and I thought, well, he'll probably retire. Well, he went on for another 20 years plus.
Yeah, he was 94, I believe.
And I think he quit smoking when he was in his 80s.
Did he really quit smoking?
Quit drinking. No, he quit drinking
in
his 80s.
Quit drinking because he smoked
never quit
till
smoking.
The end.
Yeah, it was really remarkable. Not that anybody should smoke. Now, you kids, don't smoke out there.
Yeah, yeah.
But with Pine Top, I mean, he was such a gentleman and so nice and approachable.
He was.
I mean, I don't remember him saying a bad word about anybody.
And no,
he just took life as it came. And I'll tell you, I didn't come so much to talk about Pine Top, but it's hard not to think about him because he's so great. And he and May got along. He used to call Miss. Sometimes he'd call her Mary, but like Mary. But I've seen people jump on a stage, like out in Nebraska, just to gather around him when he started his Pine Top Boogie Woogie.
Oh, yeah.
And they just gathered around him. And I don't know if they'd ever seen anybody play blues before, but they knew something that was great and special when they saw it. And Pine Top was just a magnet for people.
You know? I have unbelievable memories of him. I saw the Muddy Waters Blues Band back up Eric Clapton, and with my parents actually went to the show up in Portland, Maine. Uh-huh. And just the vision of Pine Top with an upright piano and his top hat on and his suit and the willow of smoke coming off. It was just like it was definitely Pine Top.
Yeah, he was his own guy. That's a good point, because he sometimes wore a smoking jacket and he looked so debonair.
Yeah, exactly.
And he'd be kind of a little bit of not a wise guy, it's not quite the right word, but like on a song like Kansas City that Muddy Waters would sing, he'd like talk back to Muddy.
Yeah,
it was so great.
Yeah, and that's huge.
Yeah, that was a big thing. And also, if Pine Top ever saw somebody in the audience digging his playing, which happened a lot because people loved him, he would really smile himself too.
Yeah.
He appreciated people out there who appreciated him. So, you know, unlike so many attitudes today of many musicians.
Oh, yeah.
We won't go there. I shouldn't even bring it up. But Pine Top, just such a... I feel lucky to have known him at all, to have seen him play with him. Well, to play with him was great. That's another thing about him. He'd make everybody around him sound good. Muddy was smart. You know, Muddy Waters had people, all of the musicians he picked, Willie Smith and Calvin Fuzz Jones and Willie Big Eyed Smith, you know, those guys they played good blues and took their time. They knew how to make the blues thump a little bit, you know.
Exactly.
And it all chugged along like a train. And Muddy kept tight control over the sound. And that was such exciting times to see Muddy. So if you saw Muddy, you were very lucky. You know, the young people today, I feel bad. They can listen to the records, which are terrific, but I do feel bad that they didn't get a chance to see it. But that's just happenstance.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't help it when you're born.
Exactly. Well, I was lucky enough when I was young, at a young age, somebody
grabbed
me.
Good for your parents. What great parents.
Somebody grabbed me at 18. Well, they're only like 16 years older than me. And so, you know, actually, they went out and got, they got the tickets to the show. And a friend of ours up there who was in the service, went up in his dress uniform, in his service fatigues. He says, I want four tickets. And then he says, I want four right behind him, as close as you can get. And we end up with like 6th and 10th row.
Excellent.
At the Cumberland County Civic Center. It was really unbelievable.
That's terrific. Your parent, wait, let's go back a second. You say your parents are 16 years older than you?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, yeah,
mine are only
12. Mom, my dad.
Mine are only 12 older than 12, me. Yeah. I'm from Arkansas. Yeah. You know?
But that's bad on one end of the spectrum, though, because, you know, I'm not far behind once I see all the, you know, the getting on in age going on.
Are you on a first-name basis with them?
No, no, not at all. In fact, they're probably listening, so I have to be quiet because hopefully Easter dinner will be held off.
I put my foot in my mouth. I'll let you put yours in yours. Thank you.
Here we go. All right, well, let's get we're going to play a little more music, and then we will be back to discuss some more. We're going